that presence that I feel. I'm glad that you don't always feel the Lord, but I'm glad when you can. Amen. Amen. He does give us emotions, and He's in the house this morning, and I appreciate it. He's the one that squeezes our hearts so much that water comes out of our eyes. It's coming from a heart of thankfulness, a heart of praise, a heart that's so thankful that God would let us serve Him. And I was telling the young people this morning that I'm my worst enemy, and many times I know me. And it amazes me that the God of heaven would have anything to do with Brian Green. And yet here we are, and He's not only our Heavenly Father, He's not only our Savior, if you're born again, but He's our friend this morning. And He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke in chapter number 19. The book of Luke in chapter number 19. I want to read to you one verse this morning. And I want to preach to you an illustration that I think everyone will be familiar with. Try to preach to your hearts and trusting the Lord to do with these truths and these thoughts what only He can do. Without Him we can do nothing this morning. But if He gets in it, He will accomplish what He sees fit. The Bible says in the book of Luke in chapter number 19 and verse number 10, one verse here, Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "For the Son of Man," that's the Lord Jesus, "is come to seek and to save that which was lost." The Bible says that they were lost. I have been reading a book called A Night to Remember by Walter Lord, and many things. I could not put all of the illustrations from that book about the Titanic. And God used some of the things that I gleaned from that book to develop some thoughts here, and the parallel between the Titanic and all that took place there in the year 1912, the month of April, to what's going on this morning spiritually in the hearts of many of those that sat in this room this morning, as we take the truths and the parallel and the scripture, and we preach this morning on the subject of a message from the unsinkable ship. A message from the unsinkable ship. 113 years ago, just a few months ago, there was a building that sits in Southampton, England, and that building is about three blocks from the port in England that puts great ships out to sea. That little building that sits there is known as the Canute Chambers. It still is there today, and that building, if you go and look at it today, it does not look like much. But that day, 113 years ago, there was a lot of activity outside that building. And there was a business that took up its residence in that place. And the business was called the White Star Lines. The White Star Lines was a company that owned vessels that sent cargo ships all across the world. The company also majored and specialized in many passenger ships that sent passengers all across the world. So a little over 113 years ago, the streets crowded as people gathered. Many passenger ships were gathered, and many were buying tickets to the different ships. But on this particular day, there were those passengers that gathered outside, and they lined the streets to buy tickets for a brand new vessel that was set to sail from Southampton, England, all the way to New York City, just a few days after they purchased their tickets. These tickets ranged anywhere from the price of $4,350, and this is in today's terms, if you were to purchase it with today's money, for the most elite and the richest of the first class, all the way down to the $150 ticket for those down in the third class and the lowest and the poorest of the people riding on this vessel. Those that bought those $4,000 plus tickets were extremely rich people. They were extremely famous people. They were people that were on the ship who had audiences with the Queen of England, and many of them had audiences with the President of the United States of America. They were very wealthy, and they were very influential people in their day. The other people who bought those tickets were the low people, the lowest grade ticket. Many of them were just blue-collar nobodies that history has forgotten about as time has gone on, and now they have left the minds of the world. But they were all boarding this vessel that was known to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience. This ship that was known as a floating paradise. This ship was known as the RMS Titanic. Those of you who know about this ship know that just 5 days after her maiden voyage on April the 10th of 1912, just 5 days after she left port from Southampton, England, that she struck an iceberg the night of April the 14th of 1912 at 11:40 p.m., and that vessel began to sink. There were 2,224 souls on board this ship on April the 15th of 1912. And on April the 15th of 1912 at 2:20 a.m., just 2 hours and 40 minutes after striking that iceberg, the unsinkable Titanic sunk. Of the 2,224 souls on board, 1,500 of them perished that night in the icy waters of the Atlantic Ocean. Only a little over 700 people lived to tell the story of what happened that horrific night. News began to spread as word got back. It spread all the way to New York City and then all the way back across the Atlantic back to England that vessel had sunk that night. Immediately after word got back, hundreds of people began to gather and crowd outside that building there called Canute Chambers, where the White Star Lines had its residence inside that building. In the early hours of the morning, as the rain began to come down and they gathered in the streets, as they began to cry out for word of their families and word from their friends and word from their neighbors. Did anybody have any idea? Were they dead? Were they alive? They wanted to know simply what was going on. Were they alive? Had they been rescued? Had they perished? They said that the people of the White Star Lines began to post two lists outside of the Canute Chambers building to let those that gathered outside the building know what had happened to their friends and to their family and to their loved ones. When they posted these lists outside, there were simply just two lists. There weren't three lists. There weren't four lists. There wasn't a list of the rich and famous and the poor and the nobodies. It wasn't a list of the white and the black and the red and the yellow. It wasn't the list of the religious and the non-religious. It wasn't the list of those that were the males, those that were the children, those that were the females. It wasn't the white collar and the blue collar. It wasn't the first class crew and the first class and the second class and the third class and the steerage. There were only two lists that the White Star Lines posted outside of Canute Chambers that day as the crowds gathered to find out what was the condition of their family. Those two lists were said this on the heading of those two lists as they posted them outside that building there as hundreds gathered together. And this is what the list said at the top of the heading. Known to be saved, known to be lost. Only two. Only two lists this morning. And in 1912, the Titanic was declared the unsinkable ship by many. It was a marvel of engineering. It was a ship that was the most luxurious of her day, a ship that had much human confidence in it. Yet her maiden voyage, as I just read, she struck an iceberg and she sunk and she took 1,500 souls into the icy waters of the North Atlantic Ocean. Two lists outside of Canute Chambers by the White Star Lines, known to be saved, known to be lost. This tragic reality to this morning I hope you can see it paints a spiritual picture of those of us that are in the room this morning. At the end of life, all of humanity, does not matter where you fall this morning in your social status, in your religious status, in your gender status, in your political status, all of humanity will fall into one of two eternal categories, saved and lost. Only two. It does not matter this morning, amen, what you were raised in, how many times you have been baptized, how good of a person you are. Listen, that verse that I read this morning in Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was what? Lost." That which was lost. As we think about the Titanic this morning, I want you to notice as we draw our attention to this floating paradise, this unsinkable ship. And I cannot help but think, number one, about the pride of depraved mankind. You cannot study the Titanic without understanding and realizing that all of mankind are depraved and very prideful. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:18, that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. The Bible says that a fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. You study the Titanic, their pride in their confidence was in the unsinkable. They said that that ship was an unsinkable ship. But that's about the only thing she ever did was sink. My friend, listen, the pride of mankind, the Titanic was dubbed unsinkable by both the media and by the captain and by the shipbuilders and by the crew members alike. Those that stepped on board her were full of pride. They were carefree. They thought, if I get on this ship, I will surely make it from Southampton, England, all the way to the shores of New York City, in the land of the free and in the home of the brave. A foolish crew member, they said, allegedly said, as he spewed out with words of pride, even God himself could not sink this ship. Pride. Pride led to complacency. They said that those lifeboats were reduced because she's an unsinkable ship. So for aesthetic reasons and for aesthetic purposes, for the looks of the ship, we're going to remove some of these lifeboats because we really don't need them anyway. Safety drills were just skipped. We don't need any safety drills. She's not going down. She's the unsinkable ship. Everybody knows God himself could not sink her. Because of their own pride, they had no idea. The 2,224 people that stepped on board her, as they stepped on the unsinkable ship, many, amen, would wake up in a Christless eternity in just 5 short days. And listen, this morning, it was all avoidable. The Titanic did not have to sink. You read the story of the Titanic, there were some very bad choices that led to their demise. And when it came and destruction came and disaster striked, their social class could not save them. The Titanic was a floating city of social hierarchy. There were those that were in the first class, the millionaires like John Jacob Astor. There were those that were in the third class that were just the immigrants that were seeking a better life in the land of the free and in the home of the brave, trying to get under the stars and bars that you and I so many times take for granted. But yet death this morning, can I remind you, is the great equalizer of all mankind. The iceberg did not care about their status. It didn't care about their bank account. And eternity this morning does not care about that. You say, Brother Brian, you don't know what my last name is. You don't know what I do for a living. You don't know how good of a person I am. You don't know all these things about me. You're right, I don't. But listen, eternity, when you step off into eternity, it does not matter, amen, your social status. Remember this morning what the White Star Lines posted outside of Canute Chambers. There are only two kinds of people that stand before God, saved and lost. If you're saved, you'll stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ. And if you're lost this morning, you'll stand before God at the great white throne judgment that's read about in the book of Revelation, chapter number 20. Many today trust their own spiritual unsinkability. They say things like this: I'm a good person. They will say, Brother Brown, I go to church. I've been baptized. I'm a Baptist. I'm an independent Baptist. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm a King James Bible believer. I sing in the choir. I give lots of money. I'm a tither. I'm a missions giver. I pass out gospel tracts. I've been in church my whole life. You know, as a matter of fact, the more I think about it, I believe I've just been saved my whole life. I've heard that many times. Been in church my whole life. I prayed the sinner's prayer. My parents are saved. My grandparents are saved. I come from a goodly heritage. But just like those on the Titanic, our pride blinds people to their spiritual need. And this morning, sin is the iceberg that no man escapes without Christ. When you take your last breath, what list are you going to be on this morning? Known to be saved or known to be lost? There's only two lists. I wonder this morning, if I was to walk around and ask each and every individual, and I'm not going to do it this morning, but I wonder this morning if you could tell me what list you're on. I wonder if you could tell me about the place that you passed from death unto life and you got born again. Tell me about the place where you met the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a lost, hell-bound sinner. Amen. And the day that you heard an old-time preacher preach, and the day that you heard the gospel and you submitted yourself to the righteousness of God. You ought to listen to this preacher this morning. Listen to the warning. Don't let your pride in the lie of what will people think, Brother Brian, if I admit that I'm lost. What will people think? What will people say? That's a lie this morning. The truth is, if there's anybody in here this morning that's never received Jesus Christ, even if we all think you're saved, and you came up forward this morning and said, you know what? While the preacher was preaching, the God of heaven showed me that I've been living a lie, that I've been faking it, that I've been putting on, that I ain't got the real deal. You know what we'd do? We wouldn't say, ha, 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 what are you doing up here? Go sit down. No, no, no. We throw our hands up in the air and we say, glory be to God. I sure am glad the Holy Ghost was a gentleman and he didn't force himself upon that individual, but he showed them their spiritual need and they got born again this morning. We clap our hands, raise our hands, say glory to God, hallelujah, bless His holy name for God being merciful to even somebody as righteous as you are. There's the pride of depraved humanity. But not only that, there's the peril, number two, that I notice on the Titanic, of a delayed decision. You see, the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Sometimes we quote that verse and we would say, the Bible says today is the day of salvation, but that's not what it said. That verse says, behold, now, not today, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This morning, decision, your decision determines your destiny. That verse did not say today, because you may not make it to the end of the day. Amen. You ought to make your decision right now, right now, right now, right now. You say, when's the time for me to get born again? Right now. Don't wait till I'm finished preaching. Don't wait till I'm done. Don't wait till the invitation. The Lord Jesus said the invitation is now. If I was lost and on my way to hell, I wouldn't wait another 15 or 20 minutes for the preacher to get done preaching to make my decision for Jesus Christ. I'd do it right now. You know what happened when they had this peril of delayed decision? There was a lot of delay that went on the Titanic. They ignored the warning signs. The Titanic received at least 6 iceberg warnings the morning of April the 14th of 1912. From other ships. They would say things like this. They would say to the Titanic, you need to slow down. There's ice in the water. We've spotted icebergs. Slow down. Slow down. Slow down. But the captain was there, and the captain, full of pride, wanted to make record time, to make a big splash in the British history. He was trying to break records that day, and the final warning was dismissed by the radio operator. And this is what the radio operator said when they said, "Slow down, there's ice in the water." Here's what the response back was: "Shut up, I'm busy, leave me alone." That's what the radio operator said at the last warning before she struck. And just moments later, disaster struck. The Titanic struck an iceberg. This morning, you know what God has given you? God has given you a warning message that says, danger is ahead. Death is sure. Judgment is coming. Get saved. Get in the family of God. Repent or perish. Turn or burn. That's the warning that God has given to you this morning as you sat at the East River Baptist Church on a Sunday morning. And after that ship struck the iceberg, they said that many of those that were there as she struck the iceberg, that there was more underneath the water than there was above the water, but she got so close when she hit the iceberg, it tore a big massive gap all the way down the lower part of the ship. But the ship bounced up against that iceberg and big chunks of ice fell off onto the deck of the iceberg. You can read about it in the book, A Night to Remember by Walter Lord. They said that they would take those chunks of ice and the men and the women and the children all gathered there. As she was taking on water, getting ready to go down in just 2 hours and 40 minutes, they would take those chunks and they would kick them across the deck of the ship. They would slide back and forth. Many of them would pick up those ice chunks and they would throw them back to each other. They would laugh and they would giggle. They were having a good time. Many of them would take those chunks and run to the edge. And they would look over the edge and drop them and watch them plummet several stories and splash in the water. They were just having a good time, not knowing that the thing that they were playing with was going to be the very thing that damned them for all eternity. And just like this morning, many of amen sinners that sit in the church services like this, as the preacher preaches, they have no idea that the very thing, the very sin that they enjoy, the very sin that they play with, the very sin that they love, is the very thing that will damn them into a Christless eternity without hope and without God forever and forever and forever. Can I say this morning, amen, you ought to heed the warning signs. Heed the warning signs. Don't let the pleasure of sin delay your deliverance by Jesus Christ. This morning you have been warned. Sadly, some of you have made up your mind that you're going to do your own thing. But one of these days you're going to stand before God without excuse. The Bible says that the books are going to be opened. You say, books? Yeah, books. It's a book of life, but there's other books. And I believe with all my heart, one of those books is this book, the Word of God. And when you come up with your excuse on, I didn't know the truth, I didn't hear the truth, and many will have their excuse as they stand before God and try to plead their case, the God of heaven will open the books. He'll turn to the book and the chapter and the verse. And say, my word says, and read the verse. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. God is keeping the record books. And every single one of us will be without excuse this morning. And right before the judge of all the earth orders his angels to bind you hand and foot and cast you into eternal lake of fire, you will remember this moment as you sat here on this date on a Sunday morning at the East River Baptist Church in New Caney, Texas. You'll remember this old leather-lung preacher that screamed and lifted up his voice and stomped his feet and snapped his hand and spit a little bit, amen, as he preached the Word of God to you from this pulpit. And tried to ask the Holy Ghost to impart truth to your heart and into your mind. But sadly, disaster many times comes so suddenly, just like on the Titanic. 11:40 p.m. On April the 14th of 1912, the Titanic struck the iceberg. In 2 hours and 40 minutes, the unsinkable ship was gone. They said many of those passengers were already asleep. Some were still drinking and smoking, playing cards, socializing in the late hours of the night, unaware that they would soon face death. Tragically, people ignore God's warnings, don't they? You see, God, you say, what's God's warning signs that I have this morning? I tell you what you all got. You got a conscience. God gave you a conscience. It's God's gift to you. God speaks to you through your conscience. He gave you the scripture this morning. He gave you some sermons and a message from heaven. He gave you some friends and some family that's praying for you and loves you and invited you to be here this morning. He gave you an old-fashioned preacher. He gave you a gospel tract. He gave you a soul winner. He gave you, amen, a billboard that you saw. But I'm saying this morning that delaying salvation is a dangerous thing. Don't delay the warning sign. We don't know what day we're going to end up in eternity this morning. The most dangerous words in the devil's dictionary, you know what they are? I'll give you one of them. Tomorrow. Later. Tonight. After a while. You see, the devil will even tell you, he'll even tell some of you, you know what he'll say? He'll say to some of you, Just go ahead and get saved. Just go ahead and get saved. I want you to get saved. But just do it next week. Just do it next week. Do it next month. Don't do it now. You get saved, but just later. See, the devil don't play fair. He might even give you some truth. Sadly, many times disaster strikes. We don't even understand. We've already been doomed to damned. The devil even tells some of you, just come back tonight. Come back tonight. Not promised this afternoon. You see, the formaldehyde that'll fill some of your body could be on the shelf right now. Some of you put your shoes on this morning, and it is very well possible that the mortician could be taking them off by this afternoon. I hope that's not true, but we're not promised later. We're promised right now. God gave us right now, this morning. And King Agrippa, you know what he said after Paul preached? King Agrippa, he said to Paul, he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost, almost, almost. So there's the pride of depraved mankind that we see on the Titanic. There's the peril of delayed decision. They did not heed the warning signs of those that sent them the message that danger was ahead. But then lastly, I want you to notice this morning. There's the promise of definite salvation this morning. I'm glad the Bible says, listen now, the Bible said right there in that verse, Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was what? Lost. But the Bible also says in Romans chapter number 10, verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad this morning, amen, and I'm thankful for the day that my name went from the lost list to the saved list. Oh, thank God for the day when He came by my way. And I didn't get religious. I didn't turn over a new leaf. I didn't get baptized. I didn't get a case of the do-betters, amen. I didn't just join the church. I didn't shake the preacher's hand. You see what happened, Brother Brian? As a 9-year-old boy, May the 7th of 1995, at Bible Baptist Church on a Sunday morning, as a Baptist brat, a preacher's son, that was still going to hell when I died, I went from the lost list to the saved list. You say, why? Because that day I realized I was lost. I was undone. I was going to hell. I couldn't save myself. But but Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, as Paul said, of whom I am chief. And that morning I called upon the name of the Lord, and I went from this list to this list. I got saved. It's the promise this morning. We got hope. The message of the gospel is a message of hope. Those lifeboats were limited. You study the Titanic, there wasn't enough to go around, but I'm glad this morning that in God's lifeboat of grace, there's enough room for everybody. God is not a Calvinist, amen? Because the old ship of Zion ain't like the Titanic. There's enough lifeboats for everybody this morning. The Titanic only had 20 lifeboats. Just enough for 1,178 people of the 2,224 that were on board. He said many of those lifeboats were launched half empty. This morning, salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ is offered to all, and it is not limited, and it is never half empty. Amen. I'm glad you get all of Jesus when you get born again. Amen. You don't have one foot in the boat and one foot on the water. Thank God. You got all the way in when you got saved by the good grace of God. You got all of God when He got you. Amen. He moved in. He took up residence. Remember this morning, there's only two lists in the White Star Line's office that were posted. Known to be saved and known to be lost. Age didn't matter. Nationality didn't matter. Class didn't matter. Genders didn't matter. Gender didn't matter. Religious affiliation did not matter. Only saved and lost. This morning, Christ is the only lifeboat. Because of sin, our ship is sinking this morning. This morning, if you're here, you might not even realize it. But because of sin, your ship is sinking. Are you listening? I'm talking about yours. Your ship this morning is sinking. You know, there's not much a drowning man can do. Really, the only thing he can do is cry out for help. He can't be baptized. He can't join a church. He can't give money. He can't do better. This morning, the cross is the only vessel that can rescue from sin. It's the only vessel that can rescue from eternal death in a lake of fire. And Jesus is not a way of many ways this morning. The Bible says, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know what I thank God for? I thank God in the midst of all the tragedy of the Titanic that there were those that were saved. There were some that made it. I'm glad this morning in the midst of a lost and dying world, not everybody's going to hell. But the decision is yours. God won't force Himself upon you. He won't make you repent. He won't put you down on your knees and say, receive me. He just says unto him, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And the spirit and the ride say, come, and let him that is hungry and thirsty come. You got to make the choice this morning. You study the Titanic. There's so many good illustrations about the Titanic. But there was a man on the Titanic by the name of John Harper. I've preached a message about John Harper before. John Harper was a Scottish-born Baptist pastor, evangelist, who was there on the Titanic. He was traveling from Scotland to the United States to preach a three-month-long scheduled revival meeting at the Moody Church. Someone said that John Harper was going there to eventually become the pastor of the great Moody Church there in Chicago. John Harper was on that ship, and when she struck the iceberg, began to take on water, news began to spread that the ship was beginning to sink. John Harper had he was a widower. His wife had died. He was traveling to the States with his only daughter, whose name was Nina. She was 9 or 10 years old at the time. They had a little stateroom down in the third class there because he didn't have a lot of money as a Baptist preacher. And he ran down. He went from the deck of the ship, ran down to where his daughter Nina was. told her to get her clothes on, get her life jacket on, wrapped her in a blanket, told the nanny, who was his sister-in-law that was there, to come with him, and they rushed up to the deck of the ship. He got on the deck of that ship. He took his daughter and the nanny to one of the lifeboats, put them in the lifeboat, kissed his daughter Nina on the head, and he turned down an opportunity to get in the lifeboat. Because he was the only living parent of Nina, he was afforded the opportunity to get in the lifeboat, but he declined that opportunity to stay on the deck of the ship as a Baptist preacher. And he began to walk up and down the deck of the ship, and he said this, "Women, children, and the unsaved, get in the lifeboats. Women, children, and the unsaved, get in the lifeboats." He remembered as he was standing there, "I'm a preacher, and God has put me here for such a time as this." He changed his message, they said, from "women, children, the unsaved, get in the lifeboats," to the message from Acts 16:31. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Began to preach that message time and time again as he walked up and down and looked at people in their face and preached the gospel to them. There was one man that was a rich man. He looked at him and said, "Sir, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." The man began to cuss John Harper out. He saw that the man had no life vest on. John Harper had his vest on. He looked at the man and he said to him, "Sir," as he took his vest off, "I fear that you have more need of this than I do." Took his life vest off and gave it to the man, spun around and began to preach. As you know, the ship went down and John Harper ended up in the water. The ship sunk and they said that they didn't really know what had happened to John Harper. About 5 years after the sinking of the Titanic, there was a man that was present at a reunion in Halifax, Nova Scotia. They had a survivors union about 5 years after the sinking of the Titanic there in Halifax, Nova Scotia. I was actually just there about a month and a half or 2 months ago. Got to see some of the stuff there where they buried many of the bodies of those that were that died at the Titanic, those that were in the water. There's many graves there in Halifax. They had a reunion there, and there was a man. Everybody was giving them stories, and a man stood up. And he said this to the whole crowd of those that were there. He said, "I'm the last known convert of the great Reverend John Harper." He began to tell the story of what happened that night. He said the ship went down. He said, "I grabbed a piece of wood there, crawled up on that piece of wood." And he said, "I was hanging on for dear life, not knowing if I was about to die or if I was going to live." And he said about that time, he said there was a man that had clutched a piece of wreckage, a piece of wood that floated past me. He said later I came to know was the Reverend John Harper. He said the man looked at me and he said, "Sir, are you saved?" He said, I looked at him and said, "No, sir, I'm not saved." He said at that time I was not ready, nor was I willing to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. He said the current drifted us away from each other, but he said as the providence of God would have it, the currents drifted us back together again. He said this time with a weak and a dying voice, he said that John Harper looked at me and said, "Sir, are you saved yet?" He said, "No, sir, I'm not saved." And he said the current drifted us away. And he said right there, clutching on to a piece of wreckage in the icy waters of the Atlantic Ocean, he said, "I bowed my head and my heart about 2 miles from the ocean floor, and I received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior." And he said just a few minutes later, the USS Carpathia, who was the ship that was contacted, that was trying to get there in time, but it was 4 hours away before the Titanic sunk. But finally the Carpathia got there. He said, just in the nick of time before I froze to death, he said, they rescued me. And he said, I live to tell of what the great Reverend John Harper did for me that day. Can I say this morning, thank God for those that God saved. Preach to the lost this morning. But I want to just mention one more illustration before we close and I'm done. There was a lady that was on board the Titanic that's name was Margaret Brown. They called her Molly. Molly Brown. Molly Brown was on the Titanic that day, and they put her, because she was a lady, they put her inside lifeboat number 6. She was there in lifeboat number 6. The ship went down. They said that the screams and the cries of those that were in the water, he said, one man testified and said that it was almost like listening to those that were perishing in the lake of fire and in hell. Those lifeboats rowed away from the crowd that was perishing there in the water. Molly Brown, Margaret Brown, was in lifeboat number 6 with a bunch of men and some other ladies that were there. She could hear the cries of those that were in the water. She got a burden. She looked at the crewmen that were there and she said to them, "We've got to go back." Listen to them crying. And the crewman said, "Ma'am, we can't go back." Said, "If we go back to all of them that are perishing, they're liable to tip our boat over. They're liable to pull us down and we're all going to perish." And Margaret Brown got that fury that only a woman could get when she's mad. She looked at him and she said, "Sir, if you don't turn this lifeboat around, I'm going to throw you overboard and I'll take the lifeboat back." With her fury and her influence and her power, she convinced the man that was in charge of lifeboat number 6 to turn that lifeboat around. And they began to row the only lifeboat that went back. Less than half full, they rowed back there. And they said that when they got to those that were there, by the time they got there, that 3/4 of them had already perished. But there were still those that were hanging on by dear life. Said they pulled 2 or 3 out of the water and got them in lifeboat number 6. And those individuals, they got to live. And I wonder this morning, church, if many of us, if we're not careful, we're like the other lifeboats. We get into this self-preservation mode where we get to thinking, "I can't go back." We can hear their cries and we can hear their screams and this morning, and we understand, amen, that it's going to be dangerous and it could cost us something. But as Molly Brown said to the crewmen there, she said, "There is your duty. Go back. Go back. Yes, it might threaten our life. Yes, that we might perish. But listen, what is there to lose this morning? Christ, the Lord Jesus, left His comforts, didn't He? He left the comforts of heaven and He came down to this earth and was born of a virgin. He grew up a sinless life and He came for one reason, and that was to die for all of us this morning that are in here. He died for the sins of the whole world. He left it all to come to us." The Bible says in the book of Jude, "And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire." You know why we went out yesterday? Many times it's uncomfortable. Many times we're not welcome. But I'll tell you why we went out. Because thank God we had a Savior that came to us when we rejected Him. Many of us stiff-armed Him. We said, "No, I don't want you, God. I don't want that preacher. I don't want that message." But the Holy Ghost, because He loved us, amen, kept pursuing us, kept loving on us, kept putting us in the direction of truth. And I'm telling you, thank God for the day that we received Jesus Christ this morning. And if you're here and you've never received Him, can I say He's doing that to you? He's doing that to you this morning. So how about it? We're about to give an invitation. I'm finished preaching. There's much more I could have said. But this morning, as the piano player comes, really the message is twofold. This morning, if you're on the lost list, you can change list. You say, "How do I do that?" By bowing your head and your heart at the foot of Calvary, at the foot of a loving and a merciful Savior that gave His life for you. He paid your sin debt because you couldn't pay it. He went all the way for you because you couldn't go. My friend, if you don't receive Jesus Christ, you'll spend all eternity paying for your sin in a lake of fire. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." This morning, if you're here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we're going to give you an opportunity to come down to an altar, or even right there in your pew, in your chair, we're going to give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus Christ. You say, "Brother Brian, I don't understand all this. I'm still confused." And I understand there's some people that just don't get it because the God of this world had blinded their minds and blinded their eyes. This morning, if you just don't understand what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be born again, what it means to be saved, would you come talk to me? Would you come talk to our pastor? Would you come talk to Brother Clark? Some of you ladies can find Miss Cindy or Miss Brooke or some of these other ladies that are in here that can talk, Miss Rhonda, that can talk to you about your soul. But don't say no. Don't reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you can't get saved in this environment, I fear that you'll never get saved. Because I know this morning as I preach, there is a church full of saints, of God's people, that bade this service in prayer. And many of you, as I preached, you were praying for me. God help him. God fill his mouth. God touch him. Holy Ghost, talk to him. Lord, prick their heart. Show them their need for Christ. Show them their need to receive Christ this morning. Show them their need to be born again. Many in here were praying those prayers. And sinner friend, if you can't get saved in an environment like this, I fear that you may never get saved. Don't miss the opportunity to receive Christ this morning. I'm going to pray. And then I'm going to turn the invitation over to our pastor and let him draw the net as he sees fit this morning. But can I encourage you, before I sit down, before I go get on my knees somewhere, don't reject the grace of God. Don't say no to Jesus Christ this morning. Let's pray. Father, I love you this morning and I thank you for allowing me the opportunity to preach the gospel to those that are in here this morning. Father, thank you, Lord, for the illustrations that we have in history that we can parallel and use as an illustration to drive the point home of the severity and the importance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for those that are in here this morning that have never been saved, never received Jesus Christ. I pray as we give the invitation and we invite them to come, that they would have enough strength and enough courage to say no to their own pride, get up out of their pew, and Lord, get down on an altar somewhere and have somebody take a Bible and show them how that they can be born again. Father, I pray, Lord, that you talk to them now, bind the devil and his strongholds and all the forces of hell that no doubt have tried to hinder this service. Father, we plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ around this invitation. We pray, Lord, that the will of God would be done. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.